I'm Eddie Hyatt. This is the Awakening Podcast. I'm so glad that you're tuned in today. And I believe it's going to be a very powerful message. And the emphasis today is avoiding spiritual pride. Now, we are going through Paul's letter to the saints in the city of Colossae, sometimes known as the New Testament book of Colossians. It is a real letter that Paul wrote to believers in the first century, and it is filled with powerful, eternal truths. And we find so much that is so relative to Christians today, to our individual walk, and to the church in general. There was a problem with spiritual pride in the church in Colossae that Paul addresses in this letter. New Testament scholars have called it the Colossian heresy. And the heresy was spiritual pride had crept in among the Colossian believers, some of them because of experiences they had had, felt that they were a notch above other believers, and Paul addresses this in this letter. And so we're going to emphasize today avoiding spiritual pride, because pride will destroy us. What does it say in Proverbs? It says pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. And one of the great promises in the scripture about healing and a nation being healed, it begins with dealing with pride. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. Growing up in Northeast Texas, we used to say when I was a kid, you need to come down off your high horse. That's what the Bible means by humbling yourself. Come down off your high horse. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. The first condition was for God's people to humble themselves, deal with pride in their midst. And so this is an issue that Paul addresses to the Colossians. Again, New Testament scholars have called it the Colossian heresy. And I'm going to share a personal testimony of how I came to realize that the Colossian heresy was spiritual pride among the Colossian believers. This happened a number of years ago. I was teaching at a certain Bible school, and I lived about 25 miles from the campus, and so I would drive every morning to class. And this one morning, I was actually teaching the book of Colossians. And I had come up to the place to deal with the Colossian heresy, and I had taught it in the past, but I basically had relied on commentaries that I had read about it. Well, this particular morning, as I was driving to class, I asked God for a theme for the lesson that morning. And the words, "Don't lose your focus," were impressed very heavily upon my mind and heart. Don't lose your focus. So as I drove the approximate 25 minutes to class that morning, I continued to praise and commune with the Lord and worship Him. And that phrase, "Don't lose your focus," remained strongly impressed upon my heart and mind. So much so that sometime later, when it was time for the class to begin, and it was a class, I would say, of about 50 students, I had a chalkboard there at the front, and I wrote in large letters on the chalkboard, "Don't lose your focus." And I announced to the class that that was the theme for the class that day, even though at this time I didn't know how that phrase was going to apply. But I was willing to step out in faith because I really sensed that it was the Holy Spirit that had impressed those words on my heart and mind. Don't lose your focus. And you know, sometimes when God speaks to us, we have to be willing to step out in faith. And when we do step out in faith, when we've heard from God and we step out in faith, it's amazing sometimes how things will unfold and what God will do. And that is what happened this morning. So as I begin to teach here in the second chapter of Colossians and dealing with the Colossian heresy, it was like my eyes and understanding were open, and all of a sudden I saw that the Colossian believers had lost their focus on Jesus Christ. They had become distracted and preoccupied by their own spirituality. And they were judging their spirituality and the spirituality of one another by how many visions they had seen, how many angels they had seen. And in their preoccupation with their own spirituality, they had lost their focus on Jesus Christ. And it was very serious. And Paul challenged them, rebuked them, and exhorted them to return to their focus and their devotion to Jesus Christ. And you know, and what had happened also is very clear in Paul's rebuke of them. Their spirituality had become a basis of pride. Oh, my friends, how we need to avoid spiritual pride. Well, after the lesson that morning, I was so excited, I was so blessed, and so was the student body, because this understanding, this insight, this illumination by the Spirit had just really flowed that morning and lifted us and blessed us and given us insight like we'd never seen before. Well, I went from there to the main auditorium where there was a guest speaker who was well known in what sometimes is called the prophetic movement. And so I went, being a part of the faculty, I sat on the platform. And as I listened, I was amazed at what I heard, because I felt that I was hearing the Colossian heresy that the Holy Spirit had just made alive to us, that I was hearing it all over again. Excuse me, I just bumped my microphone. Don't want to get too excited here, but I am excited about this lesson, folks. This is so important. This is so powerful. And this person, their entire message seemed to be all about visions they had seen, prophecies they had given, angelic visitations. I'm not even sure if Jesus was mentioned. If he was, he certainly was not front and center. It was all about the spirituality of this person. And as I was sitting there, I was in awe, because it was like, wow, we're seeing the Colossian heresy being propagated here in the 21st century. And so it was an eye-opener, and I realized that many in the charismatic movement today, of which I consider myself a part, that many have lost their focus. And that was the theme for the class that way: don't lose your focus. That many had lost their focus, becoming preoccupied with angels and visions and spiritual experiences, and even judging their own spirituality and the spirituality of others based on these spiritual phenomena that are real, but they are not the basis of spiritual maturity. And we must at all costs avoid spiritual pride. Wow. And so this was the problem with the believers in Colossae. They had lost their focus on Christ, being distracted by their own spirituality. Now, one thing that came alive out of this whole experience was this word in Colossians chapter 2. And in verse 18, Paul mentions the worship of angels. Now, what's interesting is this: the Greek word that Paul used — Paul wrote the New Testament, he wrote his letters in the Greek language, not in Aramaic, not in Hebrew, he wrote them in Greek. And so the letter he used for worship was threskia. This is not the normal word for worship. This is not the word that is used for worshiping God. In fact, that word is only found three other places in the entire New Testament. It is other than Colossians 2:18, it is found only in Acts 26 verse 3, and it's found in James chapter 1 verses 26 and 27, where it is translated, in each of these places it is translated as religion. And what Paul seems to be admonishing the Colossians about is that they have developed an unhealthy religious fascination with angels. And oh, how I see that in the church today, how I see that in the charismatic movement today. I see in certain sectors, and it is all too widely permeated the movement today, an unhealthy religious fascination with angels. My friends, angels are not our source. Jesus is our source. And I hear people talking about angels of healing, angels of intercession, angels of deliverance. Oh, my friends, get away from that. Do not attribute to angels characteristics and attributes that belong to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Angels are real, but they are not to be worshipped, and they are not to become an object of fascination. Don't allow angels to take you away from Jesus Christ. And I can tell you, the more I get to know Jesus, and the more I see of His glory, of His eternal glory, and majesty, and power, and His wonderful redemption, I can't get excited about some little angel. Oh my goodness. Oh, how we need to return to a focus on Jesus. And this is what Paul over and over exhorted the Colossians, that they must shift their emphasis back to Christ, because as he said in Colossians 2 verses 9 and 10, for in him, that is in Christ, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him. And Colossians, you need to take your focus back to Jesus Christ. You have lost your focus. And you need to bring your devotion and your focus back to Jesus Christ. Wow. And as I said on the platform that day, listening to that guest speaker, again, I was amazed at how closely what I was hearing coincided exactly with the Colossian heresy I had delineated in class a few moments more. So here are some suggestions. We'll wrap this up by giving you a few suggestions how to avoid spiritual pride. First of all, keep Jesus front and center. May He be the object of your witness, the center of your witness, the object of your devotion. Don't seek an experience, seek Him. Yes, you will have experiences as you walk with the Lord, but do not run after experiences. Seek the Lord and you shall live. At the great Azusa Street Revival at the turn of the 20th century, a woman approached William Seymour, the leader of the revival, and asked her to pray for him that she would get the tongues. In his congenial manner, compassionate manner, he said, "Now see here, Sister Sadie, don't you go seeking tongues. Seek Jesus. He is the one." So my second suggestion for avoiding spiritual pride: do not seek the supernatural. Yes, we believe in the supernatural, but let the supernatural happen. Do not try to make it happen. When Christians try to make the supernatural happen, they inevitably get into the flesh and open themselves to demonic spirits that are looking for an opportunity to give someone an experience. Seek the Lord. Walk in faith with Him. And if the experiences come, if they flow, enjoy it, walk in it, flow with it, but don't go running after looking for and trying to make a supernatural experience happen. Stay humble. Number three, stay humble. Nurture an attitude of humility. Do not allow spiritual experiences to become a basis for pride. Avoid an elitist attitude. Folks, we must not lose our focus. We must not repeat the Colossian heresy. Well, it's already happening in so many segments of the church today, especially in the charismatic movement. And we can do this by keeping our focus on Jesus and remembering the words of Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, where the writer of Hebrews says, "Let us run with endurance the race that is before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher. He began our faith, he will finish our faith. So keep your eyes on him. Do not lose your focus, and you will avoid that spiritual pride that was the downfall of the Colossian believers and the downfall of so many today. This is Eddie Hyde. I'm so glad you've joined me today for the Colossian Heresy. I hope you'll join me tomorrow. Check out my website, eddiehyatt.com. And I have books there, articles. Also, my books are available on Amazon, including Complete in Christ, the devotional commentary that we're using for this series from the book of Colossians. And I look forward to seeing you tomorrow.